our brother for those messages and song, and that one that he sung, it's tremendous. And I trust there's nobody in the service tonight or nobody listening online, but when that day comes that you leave this scene of time, that you end up in heaven and not in a lost sinner's hell, because that's where you're going if you're not saved, as we said this morning. And if you're saved by God's grace, then you're going to be with Christ, which is far better. We trust the Lord will bless him. It's good to have a talent to sing. And there's certainly, it's good to be able to do a work for the Lord, and for to be able to, people to be able to enjoy your singing. And we trust the Lord will bless it tonight. We're turning now to the book of Revelation, and to the chapter 3. And to the verse 14 of that chapter. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We know that God will bless the reading from his own precious word this evening. Let's bow just in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the hymns we have sung, for the messages and song that we have listened to, and for thy word that we have read together. And we ask thee now, as we turn to thy word, that you will cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach thy word, and apply the word to the heart of each one as is listening even this evening. We ask thee now that you will be with us, in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. We were coming to the verse 20. Of this chapter. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. John, the beloved apostle, was on the Isle of Patmos. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit, he heard and saw great visions, which we now know as the Book of Revelation. The book of Revelation tells us what the future of this old world, what lies ahead for its people. In chapter 1 and the verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And the verse 9 and 10 of that same chapter 1, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. The first revelation that John received was regarding the seven churches and their spiritual condition. In Revelation 2 and verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And this message that we have and read together in chapter 3, the verse 14 to the end of the chapter, is the last of the seven churches, the church of the Laodiceans, the church of professors of religion. In chapter 3, in the verse 15 that we read, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, because they were lukewarm. Name of being a Christian, of followers of Jesus Christ, professors of religion. God says, so then, in verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And sad to say today, many are sincere in religion, yet they are only professors. They have no possession. They have been born, baptized, received into the church, and made members of the church, and that's as far as they go. And they believe, because that has happened, that they're ready for heaven. But the Lord tells us differently through the book of Revelation. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Sad to say that many today are in that position. And right across this land of ours and across the world as a whole, many, many people are going to a lost sinner's hell every single day. Religious people. Oh yes, the murderers are going, yes. Those that are causing all sorts of problems in the world are going as well when they die. But there are many, many people who still belong to a church, and they're not saved. The Roman Catholic Church, and the Protestant churches as well, a lot of them that don't preach the gospel, and don't teach the gospel. Protestant minister and a Presbyterian minister said to me years ago, he says, you know, Ronnie, I should preach the gospel like Ian Paisley, like Billy Graham, and like the Faith Mission, but I'm not going to do it, because they would throw me out. He says, you know that, and so they would have got rid of him just because. But he was so caught up with himself that he wasn't going to be able prepared to stand up for the truth of God. And there is many today in that position that they are not preaching the gospel. Three simple thoughts on this text. This text is not to a church, but it's to an individual, you and I, any man. The Savior's love, first of all, in verse 20 that we read together. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. What a picture of God's love for sinners. And then we have John 3 and 16 that everybody knows perhaps off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in this text that we have before us, we have this love of God. Jesus Christ standing outside the heart's door and knocking. And you know, that is tremendous to think, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, God the Son, knocking at the heart's door. Why is Jesus Christ, God's Son, standing outside the heart of men and women and boys and girls, knocking at their heart's door? Because of what we are spiritually speaking. And the verse 17 that we read before, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Wretched, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And you know, the first step on the road to heaven is a realization that we are a sinner. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. Because the eternal God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Wretched. Miserable. Sin makes people miserable. And you know, people think that they can sin and get away with it. But you know, at the end of the day, what they go through, you can see the drug addicts, you can see the murderers, you can see those who have stolen, and so on and so on, and sin makes them wretched and makes them miserable. Poor. All the riches that we can have cannot buy salvation. Blind. Sinners are blind to their need of salvation. And you know, that in this age in which we live is something that is very, very important. That the people we come across in the workplace and our neighbours and around the whole area that we're in, they are blind to the fact that they are sinners and need salvation. And it is unbelievable that different people we talk to, and you bring up the matter of salvation, and they really don't believe that they're a sinner. They're blind. Who has them blinded? The old devil has blinded them to their need of salvation. Naked. We are naked in God's presence, His all-seeing eye. You see, as far as God is concerned, we're miserable sinners. And God looks down on this old world of ours, and He sees two types of people. Sinners that are lost, and saints that are saved by God's grace. There is no middle ground. Some think that they may not be lost. They're not bad enough to be lost. But God sees us as saved or lost. Either we have opened our heart to Jesus, or it remains fast closed. God's love is beyond comprehension. God's loves the unlovely. And you know, it's tremendous to think that you and I, who were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, with our backs towards God, that the Holy Spirit opened our hearts and our minds, and we could really see the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins personally. Because that is what Christ did. He went to the cross of Calvary, and our sins were placed upon Him, the sinless one. And He died upon that middle cross. And during those 3 hours of darkness, whenever no eye could see the Savior, God poured out His wrath upon His Son for your sins and for mine. God's love is beyond comprehension. God loves the unlovely. Jesus stands at the heart of the sinner, knocking at their door. The Holy Spirit disturbs the conscience, reveals our sin, and brings conviction of sin to our hearts. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know, it is tremendous to think that the eternal God of heaven, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loved sinners such as you and I. And the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. These people thought they were all right because of their status in life. Rich, increased in goods, brought a false sense of security. And you know, there are so many today, and they have a false sense of security. They think because, as I said earlier, they were baptized, they were received into the church, they pay to the church, and that's it. And they live a reasonably decent life. And there is people who do live a good life today. But you know, at the end of it, they're going to end up in a lost sinner's hell, because they haven't come and trusted Christ as their Savior. So many today have this false sense of security. And I trust there's no one in the service tonight, and you think that because you live a reasonably good life, that you don't need God's salvation. And you're blinded to the fact that you're going to stand before God one day. And if you're not saved and born again, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Because of church membership and good works and so on, good neighbor, upright in the community, and you think, well, I should be all right. These things make us good citizens, as far as this world is concerned, but it doesn't take us a step near our heaven. And 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And you know, that is something that we need to realize. The Lord looks into your heart and my heart. Something your neighbors can't do, your friends or your family can't do, but God looks into our heart. "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." And so today God sees us as wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked sinners on the broad road that leads down to a lost sinner's hell. And yet the amazing thing that's displayed in our text is that the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. Not only loves us, but gave himself on the cross, as we have already said, and was punished for our sins, and is knocking at our heart's door and seeking admission into our lives to cleanse away our sin and to come and dwell in our hearts. But because the devil has blinded the eyes of each one, they don't realize. I remember talking to a man not so very long ago, and he worked, the place he worked in, he had retired, and he says, "Every single person that I work with that has retired," he says, "they've all died and gone." Then I said to him, "You know, you need to be ready to die then." "Oh," he says, "if there's any such a place as heaven, I don't really believe there is." Well, I said, "You mightn't believe it, but there is a place called heaven, because God says there is," and he couldn't wait to get away from me. He didn't want to know. He was happy enough just to go on, and him past retiring age, and knew that all his mates that he'd worked with over the years had gone and died. The Savior's love is tremendous. But then there's the Savior's request in verse 20. "If any man hear my voice and open the door." And the first request is hearing the voice of God. Hear my voice. How do we hear the voice of God? By the preaching of the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, by the pricking of the conscience." In Acts 2:37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost created a disturbance of their conscience. And they realized through the preaching of Peter that they were lost and on their way to a lost sinner's hell. And they wanted to know what to do. By the providence of God, God steps into our life and he awakens our conscience by death, sickness, or some other tragedy, which stops our life of sin and pleasure, and makes us realize that there is a God in heaven we have to deal with. Many a wayward son or daughter looked into a mother's coffin and was convicted by the Holy Spirit as they realized they would one day lie where she lay. And you know, that is something that we need to know. The second step is to realize that we cannot save ourselves, but we must come and trust Christ as our Savior. And the Lord speaks to us in different ways. I was reading in a book, I can't remember the man's name now, just a short time ago, and he went out to a graveyard. He went over to Scotland, part of Scotland, and went to a graveyard. And they were going through the graves and looking at the graves of the martyrs. And he came to, I said, "Oh, the wives went round the outside. I'll not go look at any more graves. I'll just walk across here." And he walked across and he tripped and stumbled on something and he pulled back the grass and there was a headstone. And whose name was on the headstone but his? One of the men that had died had the same name as him. and he was shocked to the very core. And he went and left it and couldn't get it out of his mind. And he eventually came and put his trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul on the road to Damascus was suddenly convicted of his sin as he was going to persecute the Christians. Light shined from heaven. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The Savior's request was to those who are awakened to their need of a Savior. And I wonder, have you been awakened to your need of a Savior? Yes, you realize you're a sinner because the Bible says so. But you also need to realize that when you're awakened to that need that you have in your heart, that you have to look to see, where am I going to get rid of my sin? And the Bible teaches us the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can touch us. And when the Spirit of the Lord opens your heart, and you realize that you're a sinner, and you realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save you, the next step is then to trust Him as your Savior. The Savior's request was to those who were awakened to their need of a Savior, to open their heart's door. How do we open our heart's door? By obedience to His Word. And Jesus, ask Jesus to forgive our sins and come into our heart. We are saved by grace, not of works. By obedience to His Word. And John 1 and verse 12, But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Fulfill God's word and repent of your sin and trust Him as your Savior. And Luke 13 and 3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And unless you have repented of your sin and called upon the name of the Lord, you shall perish. Whenever you die and leave this seat of time, open your heart's door widely tonight and ask the Savior to come in and realize that salvation is not in a church. It's not in a book of rules to follow, but a sincere opening of our heart to the Lord Jesus. So simple that a lot of people miss the glory of God's salvation. If you're not saved, I ask you, will you open your heart now to the Lord Jesus Christ? Pray simply, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize you want to be my Savior. Come into my heart. Cleanse me in your precious blood. And help me to live for you from now onward. I trust there's someone will do that. Even tonight, listening on the air or in the church, young or old, simply come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to cleanse you in His precious blood. And He will do it. And thirdly, there's the Savior's blessing in verse 20. I will come to Him and will sup with Him and He with me. What a multitude of blessings accompany the Savior's entrance into life. First of all, there's the assurance of salvation. I will come in. Not might come in. Not hope that He will come in. But we have the assurance that Jesus will come in. In John 6 and 37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And so we believe the word of God, not feelings. I will come in, Jesus said. Can the Lord Jesus lie? No, because He is truth. Call now on the Savior for salvation. and you can have the assurance in your heart that you're saved. And then there's fellowship with Jesus. I will sup with him and he with me. You see, when Christ comes into our hearts, Satan has to go. Satan makes us sin. He makes us keep Jesus out. He makes us break God's commandments. He keeps us from the Bible because he hates God's word. He keeps us from prayer because he knows God hears and answers prayer. And all changes when Jesus comes in to dwell in your heart. You love God's word. You love the prayer, place of prayer and praying daily. You love the people of God. Fellowship with Jesus brings us close to our Savior. And then finally, there's the assurance of heaven. Where Christ is, we will be with him in heaven. John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, that is something tremendous, that there is a heaven prepared for us when we're saved by God's grace, a home in heaven with Christ, which is far better. And if you're not saved tonight, and if you've felt the Holy Spirit knocking at your heart's door, and you realize that you're a sinner, you realize that you're lost, you realize that you cannot save yourself, that no church can save you, no minister can save you, no preacher can save you, but if you come and call upon the name of the Lord, he will save you. And not only that, he will take you to be with him in heaven when you leave this scene of time. David could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. And if you come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will not want. You will be ready then that when that call comes, that day whenever God calls you home, you will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And if you're not saved, you'll be absent from the body and in a lost eternity. And I trust that no one tonight, if the Spirit of God has been awakening you, that you will come and put your trust in the Lord. And he will save you. And he will give you the assurance through his word that you're saved and you'll be ready for heaven. And what a tremendous blessing that is. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou didst love sinners such as us, that you went to the cross of Calvary, you bore the punishment we deserve for our sin, and tonight that you're ready and willing to save those that are not saved, and to give them eternal life, and give them a home in heaven. Bless each one that is saved. Help us to thank God every day for our salvation. And, oh gracious God, help us to seek to bring others under the sound of the gospel and see them gloriously and wonderfully saved. Part us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety and bless us in the days that lie ahead. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen.